Romans 15. We then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Father, thank you that you received us, that you did not please yourself, but you did that which was beneficial for us. And Lord, I want to ask that tonight, as we come to the Old Testament again, that you would bring it to life. I bless you for that and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm running into a quandary here, and this is my quandary. We have some students among us, and then we have others. People who do the assignments and read and press in to make this a part of their life so that in years to come we can preach the Bible with quick references, and then we have others. And I'm in a quandary whether to keep reviewing every time over and over and over, because I always give these little quizzes in the beginning, and there's a look of bewilderment on certain people's face every time. So I would appreciate feedback. You just lobby for how you would like us to do it. We have about 2.5 years left of this, going through the Bible, and we're going to do it. And I want to hit the happy median. It's got to be Mike Brady. Everybody say hello to Mike, okay?
Hi.
That was the kind of... Hey, Lisa, that was my congregation speaking to you.
Oh, but I'm sorry.
No, no, that's fine. Go ahead. Now, we've only had church on Saturday night at 6:30 for about 30 years, so it's hard to... I'm sorry, Lisa. I thought it was Mike. Let me take you off speaker. I thought for sure it was Mike. Well, I'm preaching right now. Can I call you in about 35 minutes? Is there an emergency? Oh, wait. Call Brenda. Do you have her phone? She's on the back pew, and she's pointing at herself. Is that? Do you have her number? Yeah, can you give me your number, hon?
No, I don't.
Okay. Oh, she's going to call you back on this number.
Okay, tell her to call my phone.
She knows. Y'all have a great time. No, no. Is everything okay? Okay, well, she's going to call you right now. It's not life or death, she says. We have this condo in Florida that we rent to our friends for about what it costs to pay the condo fee. And I got, y'all know Mike Brady. I told Brenda, I bet we get 100 calls from Mike. We never get calls from people. They go down there, they have a great time, and I said, you watch. Mike will have to call every 10 minutes because he won't be able to figure something out. So he called 20 minutes ago. He couldn't find the place. So we're going to be doing this for 2.5 years. Mike would be one of those that, well, anyway, you will. This is an illustrated sermon. So if you can email me and let me know what would help you in how to study or how to keep up so it doesn't get too technical or too redundant. Some people complain about the multiple reviews. And some people complain that they don't know what I'm talking about because they forgot what I said last week. So if you can write, email me and let me know what you think about how we're going through it. But tonight I do want to review. We are going through the Old Testament. We're going to go through the Bible in 3 years. One of our foundational scriptures is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And if you go there, what you find out is that the Old Testament is full of examples. And they were written for our admonition so that we would know how to live, and I'm going to say it, free from failure and free from sin. The verse near the end says that there is no temptation that has taken us but such as is common to man, and with every temptation there is a way of escape, okay? And so the Old Testament is written to teach us how to live a victorious life. Does that make sense? All right, and so as we're going through the Old Testament, we're looking at three things. One thing we're looking for is a revelation of who God is. The Old Testament gives a great revelation of God's character and nature. And we are getting to know Him through the Old Testament. One of the ways that happens is they run into a situation, God comes and delivers them, and in that deliverance, He reveals a new name. God has many names that are extensions of His name. I am everything. I am everything when it comes to war. I am everything when it comes to provision. I am everything when it comes to peace. And so they get into situations, and in that moment, they get this revelation of God. We're also leaning on the road to Emmaus, where those two disciples discovered Jesus, and Jesus preached the Old Testament beginning to end, and on every page He preached about Himself. And then the other thing that we're looking at is that God makes a promise to one guy, Abraham, and He keeps it all the way through. He folds His promise to Adam into that. He folds His promise to Noah into that. He adds to it later on. But the central promise of the Old Testament is this covenant that He makes with Abraham. And so we're following that all the way through. So you see, you've got to keep this in mind as you're reading, because the whole Bible relates to all of that at the same time. It's like a tapestry. It's the weaving of those ideas and thoughts together that help you understand the deeper functioning and ways of God. All right? So we went through Genesis. Genesis, the first 11 chapters, talks about four major events. And this is what's important in those major events. Here's what we learn about God, that He is patient and long-suffering. The first thing that we learn is that He created the earth, and at the last minute He didn't say, oh my goodness, I don't have anybody to take care of it. But He created man in His heart, and then He made a place for man and put man in it. Does that make sense? The earth exists so that we can live our 70 years or 100 years and then die and go to heaven. And something's supposed to happen while we're here. This was in the heart of God. You can read about it over in Ephesians chapter 1. What was in the heart of God? He wanted sons. He wanted you to be in relationship with Him. And this is based in the Trinity of God, that God Himself, if He's nothing, He is love, but He is so much more. He is relationship itself. Perfect unity, shalom, peace. It's the way everything is supposed to exist. And God says, I want to create someone to share this with us out of the love and holiness in my heart. And so He created man. That's why we are here, because God wants to have relationship with us. A question came up, and I'd never really had this. I'd forgotten this thought. I had it before, but Isaac was talking about tonight. He was talking about 9 billion people hurting God's heart. I think there might be about 7.5 billion. Well, what's a billion and a half? And I think I think maybe a couple of billion might not be hurting his heart so much. So it's really not that bad. It's only about 5 billion people that are crushing him with every breath they take. So that adds to something that I kind of caught this past week when Jasmine asked, if God knew people were going to go to hell, why would he create us? And I remember just contemplating that some years ago, and I realized this: God loves you. God wanted you in relationship with him. He did not want to make you a puppet. He did not want to make you a robot. He wanted to create you in his image and give you the opportunity to walk with him. He loved you so much that he was willing to bear both the responsibility and the pain of those of us who would reject him. The pain of a father who has to reject a son. The pain of God to have to send someone to hell. What's the other side of that? His joy in you. So you've got to understand that God's not a vengeful God who created a bunch of people to send to hell. He created every man. God is long-suffering, willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance and the truth. But he was willing to run that risk for you if you know God. If you've come into relationship with him, this is your joy. He's willing to go through the pain and the hurt and the sin and the destruction because of his love for you. I don't know. That means a lot to me. God does not want to send anybody to hell. But God was faced with a decision. Do I give Michelle Pascucci the opportunity to love me and to live in eternally with me? No, somebody might go to hell. How unloving would that be? God is amazing. God is amazing. I've sat with so many parents who have suffered because children have rejected them. God knew the rejection that he would suffer. And he has done everything possible to keep us from rejecting him. But some of us will. And so he created us, he created you, because he wants to walk in relationship with you. He had you in his heart. Read Ephesians chapter 1. Y'all have got that blank look. God created us so that he could have relationship with us. And so what we learn in the first part of the Bible is mankind over and over rejected God. In the garden, they ultimately rejected God. Leading up to the ark, Noah, they rejected God. Even after the ark, as they gathered there in Babel, they rejected God. And God said, I am not going to quit. I have it in my heart to have sons who love me. And I am long-suffering, willing that none should perish. And I'm going to continue to give man opportunity. And so now we're at a place in the story, the book of Exodus, that really centers in on that part, that scripture that's our foundation for this study, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. A lot of what we're studying in Exodus is specifically to show us how Christ is the answer to every situation that we face. And where we don't have faith and we would choose to reject God or to not actively reject God, but trust in our own ability to manipulate people, to overpower people, to oppress people, that there's a way of escape. And we can let people kill us just like Jesus did. This is an important point that we can learn in the places where we are tempted to act in ways that take matters into our own hand because we are afraid the people around us will abuse us, that we can trust God and we can live a life of love. So in the book of Exodus, all right, that's all review. Sorry for the long review if that bores you. Now, I don't have much time to cover new stuff. Oh, that's okay. We'll take the time. So we're in the book of Exodus now. The first part of Exodus is about, on the count of three, one, two, three. Okay. And so we learn a lot of things about salvation. The word salvation in the New Testament is also the word deliverance. And so we learn a lot about how God saves us. The most glaring thing in that portion of Scripture is that they kill a lamb and apply the lamb's blood to a door. And when death comes, death can't touch them. Let's see, what could that be speaking about? There is a lamb that was slain from before the foundations of the world. And it was not the blood of goats, but the unique and precious blood of Jesus that's been applied to our life. But there's so much more about deliverance there. But the second half is about relationship. And there's three primary things we want to look at. The first thing is that God wants a people. We will talk about that tonight. God wants a people. The second thing, though, is that God wants to dwell among those people who are His. All right? And the third thing is that God wants those people in a place. It's the promised land in the Old Testament. The place in the New Testament is the kingdom of God, which is both here and there. So three things. God wants a people. God wants to dwell among His people, and God wants to take His people to a place. Of course, you can remember Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. There's many rooms in my Father's house, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and take you so that where I am, you can be there also. But He also promised that the kingdom of God is among you. And so the promised land for us as believers, people who walk with Christ, is both the manifestation of the kingdom of God here and the hope that the ultimate consummation of all of this is we will truly enter into Canaan, into the heavenly Canaan. All right? So those three things. And I think I will just stick with the first one. And we will do that as quickly as possible tonight. All right? All right. That's the review, and that's the outline. You ready, Joe? I'm going to get us out of here by 8 o'clock. You know, even when you're not here, pardon me? How many times have you broken that? Okay, I take it back. All right. Joe has convinced me that we shouldn't even try to get out of here by 8 o'clock. Thank you, Joe.
It's the third word in the Bible.
Yeah. You know, one of the last things the angel is going to say is, and time shall be no more. And I choose to live. I choose to live in the completion of the thing. Sorry. We'll continue this later. It's your upbringing. Well, so we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about God wants a people, God wants to dwell among His people, and then we're going to talk about God wants us to have a place, actually to be in a place where He is. Let me read a couple of... Now, what we're trying to do is we're trying to lay these Old Testament foundations so when we come and read the New Testament, that it means so much more to us, okay? Let me read you a couple of scriptures. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. This book is going to talk about God wants to dwell among us, and it's going to go into great detail about how he builds a house. And there are going to be so many specifics in how this house is built. And then we're going to learn that in the New Testament, God says, everything you learned about the tabernacle in the Old Testament, now you as a people relationally are going to become that, and I'm going to come live in your hearts. Okay? And so, the first one, though, is that he wants a people. He wants a people. If you think about that, everybody wants a people. That's something in us that reflects God. It's part of the nature of God to be a people, to have a way. I've been staying with some teenagers out at camp this week, and on my bunk, I'm on a bottom bunk, I look up before I go to bed, and when I wake up, and it says, where I come from, people don't say keep it real. It's just taken for granted that everyone will. I'm guessing that camper was from somewhere east of here. I don't know. It could have been southeast. Where I come from, people. It is wonderful to have a people. There's something satisfying about grits, buttermilk biscuits, and bacon gravy, a couple of fried eggs, long about July or August, sliced garden fresh tomatoes. That's what my people eat. I don't know what your people eat. There's so much about a people, not just the food, but the way they dress, the way they interact with each other. I love going down and hanging out with Peter up with the Mixtecs. They sit there. I can't squat. I won't tell you what happened this week. But anyway, maybe I can get down here. Let's see if I can. Yeah, they sit around like this and they fold their hands. You know. And one of them is talking. It's sort of a tonal language, they're going, you know, and they say something, and then everybody goes woo, and talk woo. Yeah, all right. Can you do that, Matt? Can you do that, Joseph? Okay. So talk woo. And it's just, they're communicating, you know. I don't know what it is, but they're doing something. And so you're walking down the path, and you say, you'll button, and they'll go, woo, you know. That's one of the words I know. That's one of the ways I communicate, you know. So I'm sitting there, you know, and I go, woo, and they go, there's so many things about culture. Yeah, buddy. You know who you're with friends when they say, yeah, buddy. It's amazing when we crossed back over the border from Mexico. We used to eat at Wendy's, and Wendy's flew this giant American flag. And to see our students when we would come back across their border after being down there for 6 or 7 days cry. They would see that flag, and there's something about that flag that says, you're home, the chocolate is better, you know, it's cow burger. Now listen, I'm not saying this in a way that makes fun of anybody. I'm just saying that's the way it is. I'm sure I know for a fact, I've talked to some of my Mexican friends. They come up here to make money, but they laugh at your Mexican food. And the thing they like most is going back home and eating their mom's tamales And if they're Mixtec, they love going back up into the mountains and eating hand-padded tortillas. There's just something about it that's comfort food to them. So God wants a people. God wants a people. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk pretty quick. I think you'll get the idea of how God wants a people. So let's go to chapter 19. I think that's where we start. Yes, it is. In the third month, when the children of Israel gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and there come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You saw what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the children of Israel. God comes to Moses and says, Moses, I want a people. But I'm not going to become like them. I want them to be like me. My ways are above their ways. And I need to know if they want to come and live with me. Anybody here married? No? Okay. Well, anybody here married? Anybody have one of these north-south marriages? One's from the north and one's from the south? No? Anybody have a city-country marriage? No? I've got a city-country north-south marriage. I was raised on a farm, and Brenda was raised on Long Island. I was raised most of my life in East Tennessee. It was over in West Paducah, Kentucky, but my mom and dad from East Tennessee raised me East Tennessee style in West Kentucky. You have to negotiate how you're going to do things. One's not right and one's not wrong, but you got to negotiate. You've never been in a situation. Has anybody had anything like that in your marriage where you had to figure things out? Thank you, Daniel. I'm so glad you and Holly have decided to start sitting up front. You are much more responsive than others. You may have been responding back there when you sat back there, but I can see you now and I appreciate it. Learning how to be a people together is difficult. America used to be divided by regions, and people didn't move around that much. And I'm not saying any of it was good or any of it was bad. It was just different. And you knew your people. And you knew the way people, and it was comforting to be with your people, because that's the way it was supposed to be for you. Does that make sense? If you can get that deep down inside of you, you can understand an eternal, holy God full of love who says, I want to make you my people. I delivered you from Egypt that was steeped in the way mankind would do it, which has led to destruction of the whole world over and over and over again. I've brought you out to make you my people. And if you'll eat your biscuits like I want you to eat your biscuits, and if you'll accent your words like I want you to accent your words, and if you'll dress like I want you to dress, and if you'll be what I want you to be, you'll become my people. But here's what I'm going to find out. I'm going to tell you the way it is. And you're going to decide if you want to live with me or not. That's it. That's what he was doing. He brought him out and said, I want to find out if you want to live my culture. And if you do, go ahead. Come on in. But if you don't like my culture, you got to find someplace else. Isn't that nice to boil it down to that? I think so many people, when they start talking about the law, it's like, oh, God had all these rules that he wanted people to keep, but now he just loves everybody. And so in the next chapter, he begins, go on down to chapter 20, and he says, so are you with me so far? You see what I'm saying? So here's what he says. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and you shall have no other gods before me. Hey, I brought you out of bondage. Living your way leads to bondage. Now you come and you set your heart on me and you worship only me, no other gods. And then he continues and he says, don't make a graven image or a likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. I'm not going to go into detail, but I will remind you, we're going through Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers that talks about the journey where they are brought to places where they are challenged. Are they going to love the things of this world or the things of heaven? And they end up making a god out of the things of this world and they worship it. And God says, you're going to have to be careful. Do not bow down and worship Hershey's chocolate. Hey, listen. Focus on the family, smart. And you know you love the bunny. I mean, that wasn't a mistake. If you don't know VeggieTales, ask somebody who does. You don't know. Pardon me? You're having a hard time? Is there a doctor in the house? Okay, can you turn this up a little bit? I think it's not quite as loud. What? Okay. Stand on the other side of that banister. You want to go on the other side of the banister, Joe? All right, stick with me. It's just one point that we're making tonight, okay? That he wants a people. But when he says, I have brought you out to make you a people, it means he wants to enculturate you with heaven. And so he says, I want to know if you want to live like I want you to live. Let's get real. See, I did that to find out if you were listening in the beginning. And Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Verse 6, and I show mercy unto thousands of them that love me. Mercy is a special love word of God. Mercy is when we don't receive what we deserve. Mercy is when we have stepped on God's toes. Mercy is when we've served God something he doesn't like. Mercy is when we have made a god out of something. And the Bible says he treats us with mercy. When we say, God, I'm sorry, I love you. I want to learn to live your way. This is the Old Testament. And then he goes on down, and the next commandment, the fifth commandment, is the very first commandment with promise. And it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then after that, it gives five more commandments, and it teaches us how to treat each other. If I got a wife, she's my only wife for my whole life. I cling to her and her alone. If you've got something, it's yours, it's not mine. Isn't the law horrible? It is just treacherous. And if you ask me, if I took something that belonged to you, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm going to tell you the truth and tell you I'm sorry, I'll bring it back. If I break something of yours and you notice it's broken, I am not going to manipulate myself around. I'm going to say, I broke the handle on your pickaxe. I'm sorry. Can I replace it? Horrible, isn't it? Hey, I've brought you to myself to make you my people. I need to know if you want to live like I live. First of all, you got to love me, and I'll be forgiving. I'll be merciful. I understand that it takes a while to learn these things, but you got to love me. That means you got to love my ways and you want to become like me. And then the biggest thing is I love every one of you and I need you to love each other. And if you don't want to love each other, that's like biscuits without gravy. And I'm not going to put up with it. Does that make sense? You see what I'm saying? I don't mean to give trite examples, but I want you to connect that this is what God likes. This is who He is, and He wants a people. He wants to live among us, and ultimately, He wants to take us to His house, but He don't want to take us there if we don't want to live like He wants to live. And so, if you go on down through the rest of these chapters, let me just give you the headings. I copied them, the headings down. 21, it's laws about slaves. Okay? I'm not going to comment on slavery. Slavery existed in a certain way. One of the ways you could become a slave is that you could go into debt beyond what you could repay, and you would have to sell yourself into slavery until you could repay it. That's good. That's a good law. That's a better law than you can keep going into debt and making everybody pay for it. I guarantee you there would be a lot of people who did a lot fewer stupid things if they knew, now if I keep doing this and I go broke, I'm going to have to work for Bobby Joe for 7 years. I don't think I'm going to make this risk. But people risk credit card debt, student debt, over and over because they can file Chapter 11. Now, I'm not saying we should have that kind of slavery, but it wasn't bad is what I'm telling you. God was pretty serious. You live within the means that I give you. You're going to come into my house. I'm going to be your God, and I'm going to give you what you need. But if you go into debt, it's because you keep spending more than your part. And we're a family. And we can't keep pouring the resources into little Carl that always wants more than what he can afford. Well, I thought I'd stop and talk about that kind of slavery because, well, it's slavery, and we don't like that. Anyway, then there's laws about restitution. If my cow kills your cow, you get my cow. And I get your dead cow. I like that. That makes sense. Now, if my cow kills your kid, we kill my cow, and I have to make restitution. If my cow kills your kid and he's already attacked somebody else, I'm in much deeper trouble. Laws about social justice. If a man seduces a virgin who is not betrothed and violates her, he's got to make it right, and the father is the one who has jurisdiction over him making it right. I think every rapist in America needs to face the father of that girl. And that father should have jurisdiction over it. I think it might deal with the problem. Whoever lies with an animal shall be put to death. Then on down in verse 10 of, well, let me just read these real quick so you get an idea. Laws about the Sabbath and festivals. All the way down through 22, 23, 24, all down through there, right up to 24, it talks about all these laws of how we're going to treat people in my house. We're going to live within our means. If we take stuff from people, we're going to give it back. We're not going to violate each other. We're just not going to do that stuff. We're going to love each other. That's what it says. God says, my house is a house of love, and I'm not going to put up with anything but love. And if you don't like it, you don't have to live here. But this is the way we're going to live. Does that make sense? So I want a people, and I want to know if you people want to be my people. Let me tell you the way it is. All right, so he gives the law through Moses. All right, let me see if I can find the rest of my notes. Let me see if I can get rid of the right notes and get to the notes I want. It might not happen tonight. Oh, yeah, here we go. So are you with me? So over in Matthew 22, 36 and 40, somebody comes to him and says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All of the law, everything God was saying in the Old Testament was, love me and love your neighbors. Hey, I need a people. I created you to be my people. Do you want to love me and do you want to love each other? Okay? Now, the end of it, you've got it figured out. Jesus came and showed us how to do that. Jesus came and died for you. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his brother. Here's what God said in the Old Testament. I want a people, just like my son. Now, Kyle, let me ask you a question. Do you want to live in my house? Would you like me to teach you how to die for every person in this room? Think before you answer. Or would you like me to promise you a place and for you to create a God that will forgive you all the time for being a selfish punk brat and then take you there? I'm not going to do the latter. Do you love me and do you want me to teach you how to do this? We're going to start a journey here if you want to. I'll deliver you from the bondage of sin if you want to do that. I would like a people who want to go with me and let me teach you that. But I'm not inviting you to my house if you're going to mess it up for Abby, because I really love her. You want to learn? It'll cost you everything. But I'm not going to ask you for anything that I'm not willing to give, and I've already done it. My one joy was Jesus. And the only way I could give you opportunity was to let him die. Now I've done my part. Do you want me to teach you how to love these people? It'll cost you everything. But you'll be part of my people. See? Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? So that's what's going on in the Old Testament. So let me bring you up to, is it 8 o'clock yet? Okay, It's just one point, and I think this point is so important. So stick with me. So in the Old Testament, God is saying, I want you to love each other, and I want to teach you how. And so I'm going to have Moses come up, and I'm going to show you what love is. And I'm going to send it down, and y'all are going to live it. And so sometimes they would, and sometimes they wouldn't. And there is a place in Chronicles that I want to take you to where there's a king who comes back to the Word of God. And look what he says. 2 Chronicles 34, 31. Okay, so we're in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Then there will be Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. And then we get to the part where the kings live. Okay, 2 Chronicles talks about the kings. And there is a particular king, listen to what he says. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. He renewed his covenant with God and said, "Yes, God, we do want to be your people. We've reverted to our old ways, but we found your word, and we want to be your people." I think this is real important that we understand. It's not doing what the Bible says. It's becoming his people. Does that make sense? It's not a law to keep. It's who he is. It's the way he wants to live. God, I want to live like you teach us to live. Yes, help me. After Chronicles comes the prophets. See, the Old Testament was written to help us understand who we are and how we should live in relationship to God. So the prophets are understanding what's going on, and they're looking forward to after Christ comes. And I'm going to read you a couple of things they say, and you're going to go, I think I'm about to get this point. Ezekiel 11:19. "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh." All right, hang on to that thought. Go to Jeremiah 31:33. This is all the spirits, the same spirit in different prophets. And I'm going to read this slowly and see if something will open up inside of you. Jeremiah 31:33-34. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." I will take my word. Ezekiel said, I'll get rid of your stony heart, your hard heart, your encultured heart, encultured in the way you want to do things, and I will put a heart of flesh there, and then I will take my ways, and I will put them in your heart. And I will be your God, and you will be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. Saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. You see where this is going? Moses had to write it down and give it to them because God could not live in their heart. But God did come and live among them in a temple, very close. And the curtain, it was a gray curtain at times. But the written word from Moses, they would keep giving it, this is God, this is God, this is God, this is how God wants you to live. But it's looking forward to the time when we become the tabernacle of God and he abides in us and we know God himself. And people don't keep giving us. Did you forget that God doesn't like gravy on his biscuits? But we know. You know, I hurt my back at camp, and if I'm too still too long, I can't move. And so I asked Brenda to bring me some diet doctor. Or I asked her for something to drink. And she said, "Diet Dr. Pepper?" Well, of course. She knew. And she went down and she got it. And she came up and she started to hand it to me. And she looked at it and she started laughing. Because I like a cup full of ice. And she had filled it with ice, but she'd poured hot Dr. Pepper in it, a room temperature Dr. Pepper, and the ice had melted, and as she was handing it to me, she realized, and she started laughing. She knows me. I don't have to say, Brenda, I like Diet Dr. Pepper all the time. She just, can I get some drink? Diet Dr. Pepper? I said, sure. She knows me. I am in her heart. And she responds to me out of what she knows that I like. The Bible says very clearly that in that day, I will come and I will put my word in their heart. They will no longer need someone to read a list of rules, but it will be in their heart. And here's the deal. In the New Testament, our handling of God's ways and God's desire and God's word goes way beyond what he was able to write down. And so now he trusts us to know him and to know his will beyond the written law. He didn't get rid of the law. The law says love each other. If you steal something, give it back. If you lie, quit lying. If you're lusting, quit lusting. Love each other. And I'm going to get you as far as I can with your stony heart. But one day, because I'm long-suffering and patient, I put up with Adam and his bunch. I put up with Noah and his bunch. I put up with the bunch after Noah that ended up with Abraham. And I'm going to meticulously prepare the historical soul of man to understand what it means to walk with me. And at the right time, I'm going to send my son, and he is going to show you what it means to live my kingdom. And my kingdom is that you lay your life down and you die for each other. And then I will invite every man to come. Be my people and live with me forever. Okay? You with me? James 2, 8 through 9. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. If you fulfill the royal law that's written according to the commandment, love your neighbor, you do well. You do well. And so it's a very simple point. We're delivered, and we learn about that through Pharaoh and the Passover. But God wants to have a people. He wants to have a relationship. He does that by having a people who want to keep his word, who want to live, who want to seek out his word, to cherish his word, to remember every little thing about his word. Not because if I keep your word enough, you will let me come to heaven because I kept so much of your word, but I demonstrate to you that I do love you. And I do want to be shaped in your image. And I do want to live your ways. Yeah? And then beyond that, the tabernacle of how he lives with us in the Old Testament, which we will talk about next week, demonstrates how he wants us to build our lives together so he can live in our midst. That'll be fun too. But did you forget that I started with Romans chapter 15? I bet some of you did. Let's go back and read that again. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Christ came and he lived in the earth, and there's a lot of things he could have done. He could have called angels to kill the Romans. He could have turned the stones into bread. And it wouldn't be inherently wrong, except for the fact that it wasn't God's will. It would have been to his benefit. He could have not come. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, those that reproached you actually ended up reproaching me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Patience and comfort of the Scripture. That tells me that there's going to be a lot of things that I like that I'm not going to be able to partake of anymore. There's going to be a lot of times when life would be easier for me, but I choose to do something that's hard for me because I love you. And I'm comforted from the Scripture. And I'm patient. And I keep letting you take from me because that just makes me more like Christ. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So receive one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. God's making us his people. But we all have where I come from, and we all like where we came from. But his word of love lives in our heart. Look at this. He has now taken us from the place where there's a list of things we do, till now we're being shaped into the image of Christ so that I can live life with you. And in things that are written nowhere, I can determine what's best for you and from my heart give up what I might like, just so I can be a blessing to you. That's what God is making us into. That's his people. It's costly. Jesus showed us what it cost, but the word lives in us. The Spirit of God brings it to life, and in every situation, it will interpret everything all at once, and you can know from your heart, I could do this if I wanted to, but that's going to be no blessing to you. That's not going to further you in Christ. Wow, could God make us those kind of people? Rather than living our rights, living the joy of giving up everything so I can be a blessing to you. What if God had a people like that in the earth? Well, he does. But we're on a journey and we're not perfected in it yet. Isn't that nice? So God delivered us, and now God wants a people, and the way he does it is he put his word in our heart, and we come to know him, and it's the word of love, laying our lives down for each other. All right. There you go. Yes? Hallelujah. Could God do that? Yes, he can. Can any culture do that apart from God? No, they can't. We need God so close to our heart, that we have got to give ourselves fully to the study of the Old Testament to get to know him, who he really is, and what he's doing in the earth, so we can understand how to live in relationship to him through his son Jesus, who came and did it perfectly. Amen? Hallelujah. It is nice to walk with people that, you know, I hope y'all don't mind me preaching like you're sinners and you don't want to do this. It just preaches better, you know? You know, they put it online, and you never know who's going to listen to it. But I'm not. I am being serious. Living in this body is the closest thing to heaven you're going to get. Well, without dying, it is. There are so many people in here that I know put up with me and my stuff, and they adjust to accommodate me, and I appreciate that. And I know we do it with each other. Let us be, Romans, it says, like-minded toward one another. And what was that like mind? I exist for God's pleasure in serving you. And that blesses him so much. Hallelujah. Well, where do we go from here? Oh, I know. We ask the worship people to come up.